Democrat of the day, Cheryl Youakim, is kind enough to join us. She is my representative, and she's kind enough today to join us about her reelection campaign and the issues that she's going to be facing here in 2020. Representative, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Well, thank you for having me on, Matt.
I'm glad. I know you've been real busy, so thank you. I do appreciate that.
So, what would you like to talk about?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's start with one thing that, you know, just, you know, you've come on now. You were on in 2016. You were on in 2018. We talked about you being in the minority in 2016. We talked about you, you know, trying to claim the majority in 2018, which we did. Talk about the process of legislating, just as you've seen in that first year with Melissa Hortman as the speaker and the Democrats in charge of the House.
Well, let me just say it's been a lot nicer to be in the majority. I am very happy with some of the changes we've instituted. Our speaker, Hortman, has instituted on trying to make it a more transparent process. And it has been a lot of fun being the chair of the Education Policy Committee. We're trying to really move to more progressive bills and make sure that folks are taken care of. One thing that we had started way back in 2016 was the Minnesota Values Project, and that was where we went all over the state asking a series of questions to folks about what they thought about Minnesota, what they loved about it, what they needed help with. And that those answers that we got from around the state has really driven our Minnesota Values Project and some of our legislative platform, which is making sure people have affordable and accessible health care, making sure that students have quality education, early childhood through higher ed, making sure that folks have an economic, have a secure way to be part of the economy, make sure that we have an economy that works for all. And then also this year we're adding in some stuff around climate, and transportation. But what's been the most heartening about talking to people across the whole state is that folks don't want to just do well themselves. They want their neighbors and friends and family to do well, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, because what you just described there, and I caught some of the Republican press conference here about, you know, Minneapolis, big scary place. We need to, I don't know, have militant police force. I don't quite understand what they're trying to get at there. But needless to say, their entire campaign on the Republican side is not about helping their own communities. It's about the vilification of the inner city of Minneapolis and trying to, and frankly, from my personal opinion, it looks like they're just trying to go back to their districts and say, see, all those people that live in Minneapolis, those people that live in Minneapolis, I'm keeping them under control, versus what the Democrats are putting forward. I mean, it just, it's not nearly, I remember the frustration you had in those first 2 years there in 2017, 2018, during the election recycle, the cycle there with the Republicans, where it was always no, no, no. And it, the idea of helping Minnesotans, I mean, that's what the goal of the legislature is supposed to be. It is refreshing to see the Democrats actually put forward a policy that somewhat embraces that.
Yes, you know, and that's, like I said, that's what we heard across the state. We didn't hear the politics of fear and division that we're hearing from the other side. We actually heard people saying, you know, we want an economy that works for everyone. We want our kids to have great schools. We want to have affordable and accessible health care. We want to take care of the environment. We want to have reforms so that everybody gets a fair shake. And it wasn't about fear and division. So we're really focused on that Minnesota values.
Let's talk a little bit about you on the Education Policy Committee there. Where do you feel when you first got in on this session, starting last year, where would you feel were the biggest gaps that you had to address, and what do you want to look at in 2020 here?
Well, last year we had a very bold and progressive financial package for education. Our tax bill, which actually 96, I sit on the tax committee as well, 96% of our tax bill was a bill that the Republicans had voted on the year before. There was only 4% that we added that did little things like closing offshore loopholes, adding a tiny bit onto the capital gains tax of people making over $500,000 in sheer investment income. And because of that, and because of fixing it so we lined up with some of the federal guidelines when we did conformity, we were able to find $1.2 billion in that tax bill. $900 million of it was going to go to education. So we really rolled out an education plan last year that was going to do some serious work on tackling the opportunity gap, making sure our students felt healthy and safe in their schools, and also that we were addressing the needs that our teachers and administrators and staff have to make sure they're providing quality education. Unfortunately, the Senate didn't see it our way. We had to compromise with about a $450 million package, but we're still working at it again this year.
Well, and I mean, this shows, once again, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. It shows the importance of having a Senate that's basically, not outside of the education and the tax committee, the entire thing with the emergency insulin bill. If you ever just wanted to see that the Senate was on their own personal agenda that has no intent of helping regular Minnesotans, it's that. I mean, a well-nuanced bill like your education policy bill here, where you're talking about finding more funding for schools, that never had a chance just because it's not about what's best for Minnesotans. It's about what's best for them or the people that are giving them campaign donations. And you're right. We need to get that Senate back, because that's the only way. When the Democrats get the House and the Senate, guess what? Magic things happen in the state. We've had it happen where we've had the Democrats there. We need to have that happen again.
Well, and I just hope we're going into this 2020 election cycle just being wary of the folks that want to cause that fear and division in our politics, because we have enough of that coming from the federal level.
It's like that whole thing with the county by county vote on immigration. They're trying to trickle it down to the local levels, and there's unfortunately, you saw in Roseau County, the Second Amendment, make sure the guns are safe law rules they put up in Roseau County. I mean, it's something that on local levels, Republicans seem to be very eager to embrace, which is going to be interesting, because then they're basically banking everything on Donald Trump, which I don't know if that's a good idea personally.
I think we just need to really work on the bread and butter issues that Minnesotans care about, and our Minnesota Value Project really hits at that.
Absolutely. Now, as you're looking at 2020, I mean, do you have any hope? I mean, there was initially some gestures, I guess you could say, from the Republicans that realizing that they do have suburban Senate seats, which are desperate, they desperately need to hold on to, that are vulnerable, that they might embrace a more open-minded, bipartisan agenda. Do you get any impression from your first few days there that indeed is the case, that you might actually be able to get a few things passed?
I'm hoping that we can at least get a decent bonding package out of this year and a little bit of policy, but, it's hard when you don't have a dance partner.
Well, it is. Or whenever your dance partner is like, I don't care if they're playing disco, I want to do ballroom dancing. And that's the only thing that happens. Although disco, the disco reference will get me some grief from people a little bit later on. Cheryl Yukim joining us is Democrat of the day for today. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention something that's definitely going to help your district quite a bit, that Southwest Light Rail line. I've always found it funny. Whenever Republicans talk about pipelines or mines, one of the first things they talk about is jobs, jobs, jobs. But this Southwest Light Rail line, you see it from Eden Prairie all the way into Minneapolis. They are building like crazy. There's a ton of great jobs that have been created with the building of this. And especially in Hopkins, you are seeing some pretty dramatic changes there, taking out that one building that used to be, I think, was the old Minneapolis Moline headquarters building years and years ago. That's actually getting destroyed. They're really doing a lot that's ramping up quite a bit. That is going to be such a boon.
Yeah, the Hopkins Tech Center. I don't know if that was – I don't think Moline was all the way down there. But, no, it is – building out transit provides just as many jobs as, if not more, a pipeline or a mine would. And they're stable, long-term jobs, too. So, plus it adds to our infrastructure we desperately need. I have a lot of hopes for that as well, and trying to find a comprehensive tax bill that we're – not tax bill, transportation bill for next year. Trying to look ahead and just reminding everybody too. I know you do a good job at reminding everybody to get out to the precinct caucuses on February 25th to be a part of the process. I know we don't have the straw poll for president, but we do have a lot of great work we need to do on the local level and getting candidates ready. So I hope folks consider the February 25th. And then also to make sure that folks also know about the presidential primary on March 3rd.
Indeed. As a matter of fact, we're going to be broadcasting live on the 3rd on the Super Tuesday with that. But you bring up the great point is that, and for a lot of people, and we had Steve Simon on. He was Democrat of the Day not that long ago. And you know, reminder is, Representative Youakim is saying, we have – it's kind of split. The caucus is on the 25th, so a week from tomorrow they're going to be having the caucus for everything but the presidency. The presidential primary in Minnesota, that actually takes place on Super Tuesday, March 3rd. So we want everyone to get on out there and get into your districts, because all your House races, the Senate races in the state, and then the U.S. House races, as well as I imagine there probably will be some stuff as well for that Senate race that's going on, that you want to be able to be there, because that's the incubator for basically policy. It's the public's input at those caucuses is so important.
Exactly. Well, and my quiet space is now turned noisy.
Yeah.
Let you go.
Well, I'll tell you what. Just everyone out there, really quick here, if you want to help out, Cheryl Youakim is 46B. That is basically Hopkins St. Louis Park area. If you'd like to help out her campaign, it's CherylYouakim.com, correct?
Yes, it is. It's CherylYouakim as in Mary.com.
Cheryl,
would love your support.
CherylYouakim.com, door knock, phone bank, donate. I'll link to that a little bit later on. Representative Youakim, thanks for being my representative. Thank you very much for the time. I know your schedule is very busy. I very much appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Well, I'd love to come on again, and thank you so much for all the work you do, Matt.
My pleasure. Now, hopefully, I'll try to check in with you for caucus night, okay?
Okay, sounds great.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Representative Cheryl Youakim, Democrat of the Day.